y'all. Yeah, we're back. Winning at life. And the word live, live. News Talk Radio, Financial News Talk Radio. We've got a few topics to talk to you about tonight. Hopefully help you improve your financial decisions. And we're going to talk about some of these things like homeowners insurance and storm deductible. You know, one of the topics is three huge disasters home insurance may not cover. And this is also another really important reason for helping people with their money. Know a thing or two about some insurance and homeowners insurance. Have some experience where I help people with this back in Katrina times. But the landscape has changed. Because I remember when the insurance companies back then were, you know, basically declining all roofs. Why? They needed to stop the bleeding. It wasn't that they were justifiable to replace them. They just needed it to slow down because it was like about every roof had some type of damage or needed replacement. So I'm pretty sure they put out marching orders. Y'all need to stop. Y'all need to slow this down. You need to deny some claims. And it's, you know, that's kind of how it works. If you'd like to join the conversation, talk about money. I've got a couple of Social Security tips and, oh my gosh, it's kind of bad news we're going to talk about tonight. The House Democrats propose retirement plan rules for the rich. Propose new. I skipped an important word there. I said propose retirement plan rules for the rich. Well, new rules that are going to change the landscape of that. They're trying to impact a lot of the ideas we've given you over the past few years. You know, the mega 401k, the mega Roth, the backdoor Roth. They're not liking that stuff. All we're trying to do is get ahead and save some money and plan for retirement. And here they go, getting a little carried away like everybody's Peter Thiel and Elon Musk. You know, you have one-offs and then they want to go change the whole system out there. 504-260-0995. So a little update. I'll just start the conversation with James here. So James, how you been doing the past couple weeks? You know, we've been absent, running best ofs. The storm affected us, displaced a lot of people. So you've been doing okay?
Been doing okay.
Because we've had a lot of people calling in, asking about us on the show, like, where are they? Did something happen? And this was following COVID as well, where we had to take a break as well. From the show being impacted by that, along with some technical problems. And then the storm, sorry to interrupt you, but and then the storm came up with, created more technical problems, a big one called electricity, an internet outage.
I think we can all appreciate air conditioning a little bit more after what we go through in the aftermath of some of these storms. Go ahead and spend 5, 6, 7 days without air conditioning. And that little scenario that you and I go through, like how far back in time would you be willing to go? And we would never go before air conditioning. That really makes sense if you're in the aftermath of a storm where you haven't had air conditioning for a few days.
Well, my thought, because I've done a little bit of travel, there's a few places pre-air conditioning. If we did go time travel and got stuck back, I know where I'm headed. Probably San Diego or Maui.
Oh, right.
The temp is like air conditioning year round. And let's see, Napa Valley's pretty good too. And I'm sure Europe has some places, but I don't want it to get too cold, but darn sure don't want to get it hot. And, you know, we complain about the heat and that's like being out in that southeast, South Louisiana humid heat. And we complain. It's like, gosh, I can't even go out and work a couple hours. It's so darn hot. Let alone have to spend days.
So since the last storm, I'm about the same. I didn't get, you know, floodwaters in my house or anything too catastrophic, but I am missing quite a few shingles. And I am under the understanding here that the tar seal on my roof has been compromised. So I have a couple of leaks, but they're teeny tiny. Just whenever it rains or you run the water hose over your roof, it takes a sec. It takes a while for a droplet to form and then actually fall. So I don't have anything too catastrophic that needs to be addressed immediately. I don't have to go do the blue roof or anything, but I am going to go through the process of trying to get some help from my insurance company. And I don't have any positive feedback from anyone I've talked to at any level on this. This is, I'm expecting a completely unenjoyable process. I'm expecting to get, my expectations have been lowered on how much help I should be expecting to get. And
when you talk of help, how much help you should be getting, what describe that help?
Okay, so the roof.
You meaning some people help you with this decision process, or the insurance company help you?
Oh, I mean money.
Okay, you're talking about money.
Yeah, that's
okay. That's what I wanted to drill down to, because there's people could give you some advice on roofs and dealing with insurance company, but it's money you need.
Yes, exactly. And I'm not going to get up there and deck any boards or staple any shingles myself, but
talking about some heat then.
Uh-huh. Well, there's a lot of my neighbors and people I've talked to that have been through this process as a homeowner. I also have a couple of acquaintances that actually do construction, and one of them's actually got a roofing company. He was the one that really got me depressed about it. And then I've had the beginnings of the conversations with my insurance company so far. And while they put on a nice, polite veneer, they don't sound like they're going to be very helpful, or I should say forthcoming, with the financial help, which is expected. That's their job. They're supposed to pay out as little as possible. You know,
So what was the depressing part? It was the deductible portion of the job?
Right. And what we have here is the dueling solutions. The insurance company says the solution, well, you could just replace some of those shingles. You don't have to get a whole new roof with the deck and all the new wood under it and everything. You could just replace these few patches where some shingles came off.
Do you have deck? When decking, we're talking about the ply boards that make the surface of the roof. Are you saying you have decking damage?
I think I have decking damage enough so that it would require it to be redone. The insurance company does not. The roofing company does.
You're talking about replace the decking of the entire roof?
Yeah, get a whole new roof, basically. So that's what I would like, because if I'm going to have to pay that whole deductible, I want a whole new roof. But they're saying it could be fixed for a few hundred dollars just by patching in some new shingles here and there, and I wouldn't even meet the deductible, so I don't qualify for any help from my insurance company.
Yeah, I honestly would be very surprised that you needed much decking replaced. From my experience, that would be very surprising if you have that type of damage. It'd be pretty old house with a lot of rot, which means you've had a bad roof for a long time and leaking if your decking was bad. If you walked on it, you would feel it being very soft in that case. So from a standpoint of, and I get this from their shingle standpoint, that saying, hey, you could just replace some portions of that and get it done. But the tar seal you spoke of, I want to circle back around to the tar seal. So tell me about that.
Oh, I have no idea what I'm saying. I'm repeating stuff I've overheard.
Okay. Tell me again what you said about the tar seal.
So there's tar seal has been compromised in the fact that when we run water over it with the water hose, you can see tiny droplets form. And we've noticed two different spots, but it takes a long time for the droplets to form, and they don't even really fall as much as one of them. It falls straight down. The other one, it sort of runs down the little support beam that's holding up the decking.
Okay. What about the stickiness of the shingles? Are the shingles laying down to where you can't walk up and just lift them up?
Yes, they're all pretty sticky so far.
Okay. Well, sounds like you're in pretty good shape there.
Yeah, not too bad. And I feel kind of odd with my complaints, seeing as how there's so many people around me who got so much worse. And, you know, I'm not trying to be an object of sympathy here, but I am trying to get out of this with as little financial hit as possible. And I haven't done this before, so it's just kind of fun to walk through with it with a guy that has a little bit of experience there.
Yeah, I know from helping people in these matters after Katrina, and they were pretty much replacing roofs on houses. And after that, then the wind deductible came into play, to where if it's a hurricane, you better have some money set aside, because they're not paying 100% of in that case. And the thing where you see a lot of roofs missing shingles is the wind got up under that and remove them. And if it was able to loosen them, and that's one reason I asked about the seal underneath the shingle, so that they, a key thing is that they stick to each other. So wind can't blow them up and start fanning them. And then that's what's going to remove them. And if the fan, if the wind was able to loosen and start that fanning process, you had debris, sand and stuff blow up under there. So they lose their stickiness there. So you are very vulnerable to the next storm that comes, or storms that with rain that don't go straight down. There's kind of wind involved and doesn't take a lot of wind. Then you're getting water blown up under your shingles, which would then go through your tar paper, then through your decking. And your decking, it, which is the wood boards underneath that asphalt roof you have up there, those things are not waterproof. That's why you need those asphalt shingles.
Amy in New Orleans, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Amy?
Hi, we own a condo, and it's one of four in one building. And the four owners together make up the condominium association. During the Hurricane Ida, we have two detached garages behind our building, which aren't covered by insurance, and they were both damaged. So I was curious to know if you knew if condominium association could apply to FEMA for damages not covered by insurance.
To answer that, first off, I have to, I do not know the answer to that. But one thing I definitely know is I would reach out to them and explore that. I wouldn't take anybody saying, no, they're not going to help you or anything. I would actually explore that and see if there was any help in that. It's really going to come down to your insurance, because you have your main building covered but didn't have the garages.
Right.
Where they, and they're detached from the building, right?
Yeah, they're detached metal garages, yeah.
Any reason you wouldn't have covered them, or were they forced exclusion?
Well, just because, no, I don't know if they were a forced exclusion. We didn't really press the issue of covering them because they were older, not real high quality materials. It was just like sheet metal and studs with, you know, an electrical line run so we could have a light in there. Just basically to shade the cars.
Yeah, it's kind of covered, you know, parking so for now, cars. Yeah.
Right, and now they're in the condition such that they need to be taken down before they fall down and hurt somebody. But, you know, that's costly just to even remove them. So, yeah, we were just wondering if it was even possible to, for you know, if a condo association could even apply for FEMA.
Yeah, I wouldn't know, but there is information out there on that. I would explore it. I don't feel hopeful about your opportunity there. But when we're looking at this, and how long ago did you buy the property?
In 2016 or 17.
Okay. So good while after Katrina. And one thing I'm looking at, there was a number of situations we're always thinking about. And from my financial firm that operates four offices, and we help a lot of people, but it's, and I believe we have like 18 employees now, and all these things come up and worries, and what help would insurance help us on this? And I've always had these worries, but there's things that I learned, even though I thought I knew a pretty good bit, I've learned a great deal from this, and it's kind of looking at these scenarios. And the one key thing, Amy, I feel is we should prepare for this again, and it not be in 16 years or whatever period of time that is. I think we should expect something that's going to be very troublesome again, not too far out, is the way we should look at it. So whatever you do with that structure, plan for it to happen again, and might want to do it in a way that you have coverage or it doesn't come apart in that situation.
Right. So that's either just, that or just get rid of it completely.
Yeah. Not maybe do not go through this again. Yes. I totally agree with you. And that may cause some people to rethink where they live. Like Grand Isle is pretty much, they should,
no doubt,
they expect to get wiped out every few years. It kind of does happen to them like that. But as long as you go in knowing that and can afford it, then I guess it's okay. Thank you for calling, Amy.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Good stuff.
But that is kind of how you have to look at it. There's a number of years back, I went on the Atlantic coast side of Florida, area above Miami, upper end area. I can't remember the communities because there's a lot of them that run along there. Unbelievable houses, knowing that storm coverage doesn't cover all that. And in essence, the people that own those properties are owning them in a way that they know that, hey, yeah, could be blown away, but I'll be fine, is what I assume they have to be thinking. And yeah, I'll just build it back. I've got plenty of money. But, you know, that's not the normal or average people. Most everybody struggling that those deductibles are impactive. They're a shock. They probably weren't expecting it. And they're going to have to work through to get this done, because out-of-pocket money is going to come. Insurance is going to pay part of the bill. Then you got to pay part of the bill. And then you've got to decide, you know, how much of my roof am I replacing, or the portion, or the garage? Does that get taken down and not put back up? Because one reason it might not be put back up, and like Amy says, well, yeah, I'm for putting it back. The other three might not be. Other three partners in that might be totally against it. Like, no, we're not doing this because it's going to happen again. So you got all those scenarios going on.
Yeah. And the fact that they're not covered in the insurance policy. I don't know if that's sneaky or if it was an oversight or maybe someone just
it could well be an exclusion because of the type of structure. The insurance company knows that is not going to be there after a bad storm comes when you get to the hurricane coverage. And there was in Motley Fool, I read this a few days ago. We're going to put it up on my blog at gregoryricks.com. Three huge disasters home insurance may not cover. Many property owners assume they're protected against disaster if they purchase a homeowner's insurance policy that covers their dwelling and personal property. And while that may be true of most things that can go wrong, there are some calamities a standard homeowner's policy may not protect against. One of them is flood. Standard home insurance policies almost universally exclude damage from a natural flood. And if there's any chance you might get flooded, your homeowner's policy is not going to take care of that. See, it can be a little confusing because if a home floods as a result of a leaky or burst pipe, a problem with the fridge water line, or an issue with the plumbing, that type of water damage is usually covered. But if nature causes a flood coming from ground up, insurance generally doesn't pay for any damage. Homeowners can buy separate flood insurance policies, usually from private insurers that offer specialty flood. And of course, the government does the flood insurance or backs that as well, is why that's possible, because otherwise those insurance companies lose quite a bit of money. And homeowners in areas where flooding is especially likely may be eligible to purchase. Yeah, I was referring to the FEMA flood insurance sold under National Flood Insurance Program. When you think about what can go wrong, I don't think those policies are that expensive, especially if the foundation is at or above the zero point of flood, and how they evaluate that, you'll have much lower premium. You're outside of flood protection, highly likely house setting too low. Yeah, that's going to cost you more. You need to purchase flood insurance before a flood happens, though. It's important for homeowners to check whether your insurance policy contains flood exclusion, and if so, get coverage. Three huge disasters home insurance may not cover. And one of them, your homeowner's policy doesn't cover floods, not like in a situation of a hurricane or the river and overflowing. You know, if it's rising from the ground up, you're not going to be covered. But if your ice machine in your house starts flooding your house, it'll probably fix your floor then in that case. But you need to look at the details of the coverages. One of the things I started doing last year from a personal and a business standpoint is have a sit down, you know, where with our clients, we have sit downs with them at least annually. We want to have a sit down and have a strategy session. Yeah, we can look at the past, but we're more concerned about what we need to do going forward? What adjustments do we need to make? What has changed for you? Are we tweaking anything? Maybe we need to adjust more tactical things like that about going forward. So what I did from an exposure standpoint, and I recommend this to our clients and all of our listeners, is you don't think about it this way, but whoever handles your property and casualty, you know, your homeowner's insurance, your car insurance, your liability coverage. Yeah, liability covering your risk, your financial risk exposures, liability coverage. So if somebody gets injured on your property or because you did something, what's your exposure? You want to make sure you're covered for that. Your properties, are they properly covered? So with my personal property as well as my businesses, I sit down with my property and casualty insurer every year and have a review. And we don't just look at what's my coverages, what are they covering? That's fine. But you know what I'm more worried about? What I don't have. What am I missing? What's my exposure? I want to have a discussion about that. And I look at that as a strategy session for going forward. And believe me, I've already made the call. I said, I don't want to miss this year's strategy session. After what we just went through, I'm like, whew. And there's one, well, I'm glad I didn't get that coverage because they wouldn't have paid anyhow. But I'm still worried about what could happen. But hey, this is going to happen again. What are your coverages? Where are we exposed? And my business grows a lot every year. So we want to make sure we stay on top of that. And that just goes whether you're buying a car, building on a garage, and such. So we talked about the flood insurance. Number two of the three topics, surprisingly, it's not. Hurricanes. Surprisingly, there is no such thing as hurricane insurance. That's basically wind insurance. Like, is there tornado insurance? I hadn't heard of that either. But most likely ways that a hurricane can impact a home include flooding and wind damage. You know, that storm surge they're always talking about on the Weather Channel, that's real. And you saw up in New Jersey, New York, the flooding that came as a result of that. You know, I've got a son that lives up in Jersey. We were talking to him about the storm, and next thing I know, I'm watching the news afterwards. I'm calling them back up and I'm saying, where are y'all at? We're seeing flooding everywhere. And he said, you know, we're okay. We're on our condos on the third level. So
nice.
Turns out they weren't so happy about that to begin with, but they weren't affected in that area. So once again, impacts with flooding and wind damage, homeowners policies typically exclude flood damage from a hurricane since that's also prone caused by nature rather than a burst pipe. Some policies also exclude storm wind damage. And for most policies, yeah, they're either excluding or have a wind deductible from that. So homeowners need to buy wind and flood damage protection if you live in these hurricane prone areas. And that's probably going to be an extra premium to get that wind coverage. But being, I don't know, my expectation is this just seems to come around more. And I feel threatened, you know, what, storms forming down there in the Bay of Campeche and the Yucatan. And it's like, geez, and they're all forming down there and they go in one direction, straight north. I'm just feeling like I have a bullseye on me. So that's one reason I'm bringing this up to you. So in most hurricane prone states, it's possible to buy coverage from private insurers offering wind storm plans or via plan administered by the government. Number three, wildfires. That's the reason I
really,
yeah, are not covered. Fire is also covered under most homeowners' insurance policies. You know, if your ice machine breaks or fridge breaks, floods your floor, it's going to fix it. But if it comes from the ground up, it doesn't. See, in areas where there's a high chance of wildfire, insurance policies may exclude this protection. In that case, a homeowner would have coverage for some fires, such as those resulting from a wiring shorting out, but they wouldn't be protected against wildfire damage. And once again, homeowners can buy separate insurance coverage for wildfires if their standard policy doesn't cover such events. Yeah, there, that Gold Rush show, I was watching that last year, and one of the cast members that works for Parker, he was having, they're up there in the Klondike, and he has a home in Washington or something, and there was forest fires, wildfires going on, and he was so worried. He had gotten his truck and was headed home, but he didn't know if he would have a home when he got there, because if that fire came, and they talked about it on the show, it was excluded from coverage, this event. He'd lose everything if it had happened. And it was like, when I was reading this article, it was on Motley Fool, it's like, wow.
That might even be worse than the old floods there. All right, so we don't really have time to go through the whole thing, but let me set up what we're going to do next. Can I just talk about what we have prepared? We do this every once in a while, and this is a mark of bravery for some shows, but for us, it's just documenting us being right. And it's not necessarily that we're bragging. It's like, it's good to follow up on these stories, and there's lessons to be learned here. And what you're going to hear starting in the next segment is a woman had called in. Her name's Laura. She's from the New Orleans area. And when the whole pandemic broke out, she called us on March 5th of 2020. So I'm not talking about March of this year. I'm talking about back when the whole pandemic was first starting. And this is March 5th. This is before 15 days to flatten the curve. She noticed one of her favorite companies, Carnival Cruise Line, their stock was plummeting. It had been in the 50-ish range for a while, and it was already down to 28, getting under $28 when she called in and was thinking about buying it. So here's the tale of the tape. Gregory gives some advice that actually has a time span that really reaches about this time that we're in right now. And without making any hard, solid, fast predictions, it was like, my feeling is, and the advice that he gives at the time, that's what we go back and review. Does that advice stand the test of time? And of course it does, or we wouldn't play it back. But I challenge you to go through our archives and find a call that doesn't meet this standard. But this was just a fun one because it talked about some really specific prices, and it gives us the watermark where we can go back and gauge on, like the stuff you hear on today's show. This will give you a little more credibility and a little more of an idea of how this stuff has a tendency to work out going a month, a year, 2 years, multiple years forward. All right, we're going to start with the flashback machine. We're going to go back to March 5th, 2020. Laura and Pochettula, you're on Winning Black with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you?
My husband and I are avid cruisers, and we found out that if you buy Carnival stock, that you get onboard credit and things like that. So we started watching Carnival stock, and it's plummeting. We want to buy, but my question is, how do you know how low it's going to go before you buy? I mean, it normally ranges between 50 and 60. And right now it's a little lower than, it's about 28 something. I can't imagine that it's not, that stock value is not going to go back up at some point. But
it closed at $27.87 today. $27.87 was the close today, and it has just fell off the cliff.
I know, and it seems the cruising industry is not going to stop. I'm assuming it's from the coronavirus scare. Do you see it coming back up from where it is or even going lower?
I just went back 3 years on the chart, and this is off the chart, this decline. Look, I can't tell you how far it's going to go down because it's a stock, and I can't tell you when it's going to go back up. If you're wanting to hold it long term and you like all the metrics, you like the earnings, you like the industry, you think there's consistency there, you're making an investment decision. So I don't know how long you have to hold it or how long you're wanting to hold it. But if you're taking a long-term view on that, you would
definitely
probably think that, gosh, what a deal am I getting? But what is the long-term fallout from this? How long does this go? Does this go another year? Because they say this coronavirus is going to die down. Then it's going to start back up until vaccines and cures show up. So this could be a revolving problem. And, it's kind of common knowledge. People tend to get sick in wintertime on board ships. It's
correct.
Kind of what happens, but you've got to be aware of that. So it is really
drop down in price. We were looking at, it was above 50 here just a couple weeks ago.
I know. There. That's why we kind of thought decline. This would be a good time to buy.
Well, can I throw in something here? Because Laura is, I don't think she realizes what a gamble this is, because people can put money in there on these stocks that are going down thinking, yeah, it can turn up at any time. Yeah, or it could file for Chapter 13 bankruptcy in 3 months. We don't know. This could tank the company. It ends up being bought out by some other company. You end up getting crushed. You don't know. There's a reason why people are selling it.
Look, a lot of stuff is panic selling, just a slowdown. Everything is selling off. This is significant. This was a 14% decline. Today is a bad market day. This stock was, you know, what, we were over 50, and now we're under 28 today. I can't predict, but if you're having to make a decision, it needs to be long-term. I wouldn't do any quick play on this. But what James brought up is you might want to look at their last annual statement. You might want to look at their earnings statements before this happened. What did their data look like last quarter, end of last quarter? Because they were not pricing this in and projecting this. You know, want to look at their debt. How much are they having to service? So if people start canceling cruises and all, how are they absorbing this? They're going to park the ships for a few weeks, wait for this to pass. See, I don't have any of those answers, but those are concerns, and earnings drive stock prices. And it's about earnings and earnings growth. So this could stay down for a while, and it's a valid point James brought up. Hey, what if they had to file bankruptcy? What does that look like? I don't know.
All right, so that was a piece of the call from Lauren Ponchatoula, March 5th, 2020. Beautiful how the advice stands the test of time here so many months later.
Yeah, and we're not at the end of that clock. That time horizon is going to have to be longer, and that's where when you're investing – and you're investing where there's volatility, how far out are you going to have to go? You cannot project that. And, you know, from our vision, our human vision is, yeah, we'd like, and part of this is we have a bias. We'd like this COVID thing to be done with and gone, like flu season. And, you know, it's not. It's hanging around longer. And, you know, and I mentioned on the show a few weeks ago, you know, how Europe is looking at this. They're looking at this from a standpoint, yeah, this is going to be around from now on. I'm not so sure we're looking at it like that here in the States, but I've started getting those concerns is, yeah, this may alter way of life from now on. Could this be where cruising shifts to, let's see, go have to show your COVID vaccination card to get on a cruise. Could that be it? Because of the liability, why we don't want people getting sick. You know, if you get sick, we're going to have to leave you down there in Belize or wherever the ship ported. And, you know, are you going to want that to happen? So there's some risk on that end as well. But investments need to take a longer horizon to come back. And the cruise industry is going to look different coming back. Now, I know a lot of people that like them some cruises. I don't care for those being stuck on a ship for a week or so. That's like being on a small island, and this island moves around. I'm not a fan of that, but I know people just love these things, and if they get going, boom, they're going. So I think the cruise industry is going to be smaller. They have shed a number of the older ships, got some new ones still rolling out, but they're going to, I think they're going to be busy when it does get back going. Full force, but I don't know when that's going to be.
Okay, but we need to put the final period on the storyline as it stands right now. When she was calling, she was asking about buying it at about $28, and what's the price right now?
$23.31 today is where it closed.
As the time of this recording, she would have been down, and it was about 18 months ago from when we reviewed this call.
Yeah, and we saw it strike prices below $10 a share back in April of last year.
All right, legislation we need to be aware of.
Oh, this is something you need to keep your ear to the ground at. House Democrats proposed a slew of changes to retirement accounts for the rich today, part of the restructuring of the tax code tied to $3.5 trillion budget plan. Yeah, they need some money to pay for that plan. So taken together, Democrat
reforms aim to erode the use of retirement accounts as a perceived tax shelter for the wealthy and instead promote them as a way for low and middle income Americans to build a nest egg. Most of the changes would start in 2022. So you have to keep that in mind if you got some money to put away and take advantage of some of these things. Wealthy individuals with retirement accounts exceeding $10 million would be prohibited from contributing extra savings and would have a new required minimum distribution each year, according to an outline of tax legislation unveiled today by the House Ways and Means Committee. The bill would also repeal the so-called Roth conversions in individual retirement accounts and 401k type of plans for those making more than $400,000 a year. It would also prevent savers from using the mega backdoor Roth strategy regardless of income level. Further, the legislation would prohibit individual retirement accounts from holding investments that require buyers to be accredited investors, a status generally reserved for wealthy investors. Now, I'll point out there, I don't necessarily have a problem with that because typically when they are required to be accredited investors to put money in investment, typically they're taking on more risk that they should be able to withstand losses versus a non-accredited investor. So you hear that accredited investor is you need to be able to withstand some losses possibly. The proposals are part of a broader theme of raising taxes on those who earn more than $400,000 a year to help pay for education, climate, paid leave, child care, and other measures making the tax code more equitable. They also follow Democrats' outcry following a recent ProPublica report that Peter Thiel, a PayPal co-founder, owns a Roth IRA that has grown to $5 billion in 2019, up from $2,000 in 1999. Yeah, he moved some very cheap, low-priced stock into an account and turned out well for him. That stock became very, very valuable over the years. So we take a one-off, so we got to punish everybody because somebody accidentally took advantage of the system.
All right, if you have a financial situation, maybe you should just go ahead and call Gregory Ricks at his office. Go to gregoryricks.com for the phone number or 504-832-9200. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is an independent financial services firm that utilizes a variety of investment and insurance products. Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest, subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. Neither AE Wealth Management nor advisors providing investment advisory services through AE Wealth Management recommend or facilitate the buying or selling of cryptocurrencies. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.